3 hours. There, minig toiv is binding mitam neder midirabbanan. The Gemara says there are two types of minhogim. There's a minig hayochid and there's a minig hatzibur, minig hakehila. The pashtus says that this minig about waiting 6 hours or 3 hours, the Gemara is clear that it's only a minig. Mikra din, if you brush your teeth out, then you can have milchiks right away. But it's a minig, minig for the days of the Gemara. So the pashtus says that this is a minig hakehila. So it's not true that a person should make a Torah and Dora in my mouth. I don't want to wait 6 hours anymore, I just want to wait 1 hour. 1 hour could be that that's a real din de Rabbanon. That says in the Zohar, you shouldn't have fleshiks and milchiks.
How is 1 hour?
According to the Zohar, it would appear in both directions. You have to wait an hour after fleshiks to have milchiks, you have to wait an hour after milchiks to have fleshiks. We don't have that minhag. In Yoruday, they have a minig that if you have hot cheese, you have to wait 6 hours or whatever. Whatever you wait between fleshiks and milchiks, you have to wait after hot cheese. On Shavuos, in the Shulchan Aruch, they have the minig is that you have milchiks and fleshiks in the same meal. So that's a question. Medina de Gemara, after you have the milchiks, so then you just rinse your mouth out, you brush your teeth a little bit, then you can have the fleshiks in the same meal. The problem is that the Zohar says that it's not permissible to have fleshiks and milchiks in the same meal or within an hour. So that's the question, is that the person, he's not going to wait the hour, but he's going to wait, he doesn't want to have it in the same meal. So let's say on Shavuos he's going to have milchiks, then he's going to bench, then he's going to wash and have fleshiks, another meal. But he could have covered everything, Medina de Gemara, he could have covered everything with the amoitzi in the beginning, and the Birchas Hamazon at the end. There was no need to bench in the middle and to wash again. Say again, I'm going to say lachman heart. So this is the question, is that considered gorim brocha sheinet zvicha, because he wants to be choshish for the Zohar. Because al pinigla, there is no such thing. So this is a dion in the Malamed Lohoyel in the Chuvis, he talks about that. Al kalpan, let's say a person has a minig toiv, a personal minig toiv. So if it's too difficult to observe it, so he can make a hataras and dark. But if it's a minig akila, let's say a person comes from a family where they don't eat gibrox. It comes from a family where they wait 6 hours. It's not he's not the Bala Neder. He can't be Matan Neder on that unless he decides he wants to join a different kehila. He wants to join he wants to convert. His family is Chassidim, wants to convert to become a Mesnagdim. Okay, so he joins the Mesnagdim, okay. Or he wants to become a Yekis, so he's only going to wait 1 hour or 3 hours, whatever the minig is, okay. Then he has to follow, he should join that kehila, should follow all the minhagim there. So the pashtus and the poskim is that when a couple gets married, it doesn't make sense to say that each one should maintain his own minig, that the husband waits 6 hours and the wife waits 3 hours or 1 hour or whatever. What do you mean? The husband and the wife, they're married, so they belong to the same kehila. So the pashtus is, most of the poskim assume that the wife enters the rishus of the husband. This makes sense. The wife enters the shoes of the husband. If the husband has a family tradition going back with Dori Dairis, so then we say a married woman is b'shus b'ayla, so she enters his she joins along to his kehila, and whatever it is, 3 hours, 1 hour, gibrox, whatever the kidney is, whatever the meaning happens to be, so she joins his kehila. But if he's a gera, he's a balchula, he doesn't have any, what do you mean? He belongs to a kehila. He's just barely observant. And she's from a family of Fedori Doris of religious people, so the Pashtus says that he's joining her kehila, not that she's joining his kehila. So they have to make up their minds which kehila they belong to. But we assume a couple that's married have to belong to the same kehila. It's not necessarily going to be the same as far as Shabbos are concerned. Let's say opening up bottles on Shabbos, opening up cans on Shabbos, so husband follows his Rebbe Muvik and the wife follows her Rebbe Muvik. Okay. The husband's Rebbe Muvik doesn't necessarily have to be the Rebbe Muvik of the wife. Normally, they both follow the local Orthodox rabbi. That's Rabbi Muvik. Shulchan Aruch says that the local rabbi is usually Rabbi Muvik. Sometimes not. Sometimes a person is so taken by the Rebbe in Yeshiva. So that's his Rebbe Muvik, and the girl is so taken by her, whoever her rabbi is. So that's her Rebbe Muvik. So, in Shilas, they don't necessarily have to follow the same Pesach. Shilas of Kashrus, Shilas of Taras HaMishpacha, that they have to make up their mind. If he follows his Pesach, she follows her Pesach. So then you have to go the chumrah both directions, because they're going to be eating together, living together. So in Yerideya, the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, who says that waiting 6 hours is not really a din, even midrabon, it's only a minik. So therefore, years ago, a person had ulcers and would have pain, so they would drink warm milk. Now they came to the realization that it doesn't cure anything. They have ways to cure ulcers, I think. But years ago, they thought that drinking warm milk would solve the problem. So the Chasam Sofer said that you don't have to wait 6 hours in order to be allowed to drink milk. If he has pain from the ulcers, if you have a mechesh bi'almo, then it's built into the minik. It's only a minik to wait 6 hours. And whenever this something is awesome, itam minik, it's built in that if you have a shasat chak, you don't have to observe the minik. In order to violate a real din, the rabbanon, so for that you have to be a chol shayim v'sakon. Let's say to have fleshiks within an hour after milchiks. So some are concerned about the Zohar, that it might appear from the Zohar as if that's a real din midrabbanan. For that, to be makel within an hour, that's to allow a real Issa deraisa, you have to be a suffix sakana, or worse. But to allow an Issa derabbanan, so if the person is a chol shem b'sakana, that would be sufficient. But to allow one to violate a minhag, so that you don't even need a chol shem b'sakana. As long as it's a mechesh b'yalma, we would be makel on that. Amin HaTorah, the Gemara points out in the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah that if you have a trefa kli that hasn't been used for trefas in the last 24 hours, the hot trefas, there's no b'liya b'tzayin, there's only b'liya b'chamen. Chamen means yad soledus. Yad soledus is some kind of a range. We're not sure exactly how hot it is, something between 140, 160, and all the kashrus organizations, they're machmer from 120 and up. The Shemir Shabbos Kachos is machmer for 113 and up. It's a big chumer. Pashtus is not like that. So if you have a trefik lead that hasn't been used for trefis in the last 24 hours, so the Gemara assumes that the blia that's going to come out from the trefik lead is going to be pogim imiktsas. It'll cause slight, it'll cause the dew food that you're going to cook in the pot. You're going to cook soup in the pot today. You're going to cook flesh in the pot today. So it'll be poignant, be mixed as the food, but still taste delicious. What if it would have been even better if it wouldn't have had this bliya that was sitting in the pot for 24 hours. So this is machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and we paskan the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. We paskan that noisim tam lev gam does not asa. So b'di'evit, min ha'toyra, there's no difference between l'chatchila b'di'evit. Smuta b'di'evit is smuta l'chatchila. Tosis in the end of Nida has the cloud. You only find l'chatchila b'di'evit on the level of deraisa and mitzvahs. A mitzvah b'shleimusa has to be done like this. And shalom b'shleimusa, if you did it like that. Tosis gives the mashal of chalitza. That min ha'toyra, you have to have chalitza and rikika and kriyas ha'psukim and b'di'evit. There are different opinions in Tanoim. B'di'evit, we paskan the rikika is not mi'akev. The Kriyas HaPsukim is not Mi'akim. So how can you have such a thing on the level of the Raisa L'chatchilim B'di'evet? So it says because Chalitza is a mitzvah. The same thing. Tzitzis L'chatchilim, the mitzvah B'shlemusa is to have Trelis and Lovan. So if you don't have both, you only have one without the other. So B'di'evet, you yotze the mitzvah Shalom B'shlemusa. But Tosis says when it comes to Isurim, it doesn't make sense on the level of the Raisa to have a L'chatchilim and B'di'evet. So since B'di'evet, the Trefa Klisha'ina Ben Yoma hasn't been used in the last 24 hours, wouldn't make treif the food because the possible blia that will come into the kosher food will be nice and tam lo gam, so it's even mutar l'chatchila to cook in a treif of pot as long as it's ain't a ben yom. So you don't need two sets of dishes, you only need one set of dishes for chametz and for Pesach and for fleshiks and for milchiks. Just keep track and know that it should be after 24 hours. So the Gemara says they made exer ain't a ben yom, not a ben yom. You're going to put a label on every pot when you use it less for fleshiks, milchiks, chametz, and pesach, and everything. You're going to forget. The labels are going to fall on the other pot. So they made exer the rabbanan ein ben yom atam ben yom. So you're not allowed to use a bidiyah, but if a person cooked fleshiks in a milchik pot ein ben yom, I cooked milchiks in a fleshik pot ein ben yom, so bidiyah, but it doesn't make treif, because it doesn't tam levgam, but lachatchila, it's also midirabbanan. We are machmer, there are different opinions in Rishon. We are machmer that if you have a klisha ena ben yomo, let's say you have a knife that's ena ben yomo and you cut a davachorif with it, So then the Gemara says something. Gemara does speak about onions. The Gemara talks about other things at the Dovah Charif. So then we have Machmeh that the Bliya goes through, even though it's Ein Ben Yomo, and even though it's not Banat, we'll get to that soon. It'll make the onion fleshig. And then you should be careful not to mix the onion in with milchiks later on. Or let's say if you have a cliche Ein Ben Yomo, you have a pot that hasn't been used for fleshigs in the last 24 hours, and then you cook some parav soup in the pot that's very sharp. So Dovah Charif is not only with Tzirif Duchke de Sakina, if you're cutting, if you stick a fork into a sharp thing, or you take a knife and you cut something, that's a Dovah Charif with a Duchke de Sakina. So we are Choshish at the Bliya goes out, even though it's Tzaynin, even though it's not Banat, and even though it's Ein Ben Yomo, we would be Machmer on that. So the same is true if you have a tray for Kli Shein Ben Yomo, or if you have a Fleishik Pat Shein Ben Yomo, and you cook a soup in it, and the soup is a Dovah Charif, it has quite a Charifus to it, so then it'll Aser, it'll make treif and make fleshig that soup. If you have a pot that's treif, how do you kasher it? So the Gemara says the rule is kibola kach polto. There are three different forms of kashering. Sometimes you need libun, sometimes hagol is enough, and sometimes mila v'irigim u'yamim is enough. So if you have a broiler, and somebody broiled non-kosher meat, non-kosher hot dogs or something on the broiler, so then it's an isura bola, and since the bliya is agdei ho'esh, bliya mtzos ha'mayim, there was no liquid there, just a little juice was coming out, so then you need libun. What exactly do we mean when you say you need libun? So the poskim and Shulchan Aruch talk about two different types of libun. There's a libun chomer and a libun kal. Libun chomer means that you heat the thing up to something like 950 degrees Fahrenheit. That's very, very high. Now, libun kal, some rishonim are of the opinion that libun kal is sufficient. Libun kal is something like 550 degrees, even less than that, 500 degrees. Many years they said 550 degrees here in America because every normal stove went up to 550. So they said turn it to 550 to the highest temperature. Strictly speaking, 500 degrees is also enough. Kash Nisraf is something 480 or something like that. I forgot already. What degree temperature do you need for paper to burn? It's the title of a book. Okay. So strictly speaking, that would be called Libun Kal. So what is Libun Kal? When is Libun Kal acceptable? So some Rishonim are of the opinion that Libun Kal, the 400 to 500 degrees, is always called Libun. So we have not accepted that opinion. In the Shulchan Aruch, they have, let's say you cooked by mistake. You bought some non-kosher. You thought this was the Kimball's kosher soup. Turn that this was the Kimball Strafer soup. That does not have. So you have to kasher the pot that you cooked the soup in. So how do you kasher the pot? So since you didn't broil the soup in the pot, you cooked it, there was a lot of roitev there. So then all you need is hagola. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, whenever hagola is sufficient, hagola means you have to heat it up. We assume it's not enough that you heat it up to the highest temperature, the same temperature that it was at the time that it became treif. You have to heat it up. Till it's mala resicha. Mala resicha is 212. Whenever you have to do hagolas, the more correct is you should put a lid on top of the pot, and then it's going to be bubbling. Then if you don't have a lid on, the water is just going to evaporate. It's not going to be bubbling. Shulchan Aruch, they described it should be mala resicha. So the best way, let's say you have a fork or knife that became treif, and you want to do hagola on it, so then you put water in a pot and then you turn on the fire and you heat it with a lid on, so it'll be mala resicha. Then you take off the lid and you put in the stuff and you do hagola. So if let's say, so again, so if someone by mistake broiled treif of food on top of a broiler, so then you need libun, and we assume that you need libun chama. Libun chama is 950. But that's only if something was balea b'liyam tzolos ha'mayim, there was no reitiv there, and it was isura bala, and number three is agabi ho'esh, is on top of the fire. Let's say you have a fire over here, and the heat blows into a different chamber, and the food gets cooked over here, and there's no reitiv at all, But it's not agabi ha'esh. The fire is not here. The fire is over there, and the heat is blown into here. So that's enough with hagola. The kasha, the pot that became chav, that would be enough with hagola. What if a person fried something treif in a frying pan? Tigun. So if it's a deep fry, so deep fry is like cooking soup. So all you need is hagola. If it's not a deep fry, just have an eighth of an inch of oil, a quarter of an inch, very little oil, just that the food shouldn't burn. So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim, two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, whether Hagola is sufficient, because of Kosov you had Reitev, or should we say, no, that's not sufficient Reitev, and that's considered like a broiling, and you would need Libun. So that's a machlekes. So all year long we're Machmir, that one would require Libun. The Gemara says on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, Gemara proves it from a pasuk in Chumash in Parashas Tzav, that the only time you need libun, if something was balea directly, agabi ha'esh and baliam tzos ha'mayim, that's if it's yisura bala, if you're cooking treifas on it. What if you had something, you used something and it became fleshig? It's a fleshig broiler, not a treifa broiler, a fleshig broiler. You want to make it parva, we'll have to discuss is that permissible or not, to switch back and forth for fleshigs to milchigs. So then the Gemara says, Gemara proves from a pasuk in Parshat Tzav that it's sufficient with hagola. So whenever Hagolah is sufficient, so then it says in Shulchan Aruch that Liban Kal would certainly be sufficient. Liban Kal is better than Hagolah. So now the Rishonim have a machlekes. What if you want a kasher chametz dikekelim for Pesach? Is that considered chametz kodem haPesach? All year long I use the kelim for chametz. Is that considered isura bala? So let's say I have a baking tin and I want to use it on Pesach. So the baking tin bakes dough. So if you should treat chametz kodem haPesach, Tosis claims that it's a terah bala. Chametz all year long is kosher, only on Pesach it's dreif. So according to the Rabbi Natam and the Tosis and Psochim, you never need libun. You never have to use libun to kasher chametz dikekelim. They make them kosher le Pesach. We're machmer on that. The Ramban disagrees with the Rabbi Natam and he holds that chametz kodem haPesach is isura bala. Because chametz mayolav all year long, it's called chametz. So, but because the Rabbi Natam is of the opinion that for Pesach you never need libun, and there is an opinion that even if you all like the Ramban, there is an opinion that libun kal is libun, and there is an opinion that if you have not a deep fry, you fried something chametz bigger things, and a frying pan. So if you do any treifa thing that you fry, all you need is hagoli, you would need libun. So the Shulchan Aruch is mekel, the Yosukara is mekel, that if you have a frying pan that you use for chametz dikah stuff, and it's not, you didn't use it for deep fry, there are enough tzadim al-hakal over there to say that it would be sufficient with hagola. But normally, for all year long, for something that's really treif, really surah bala, so we would insist that you need libun on a frying pan. Sometimes a frying pan can't have libun, sometimes just get ruined. You're going to do Lebanon, the whole thing will melt away. So again, there are three types of kasherization processes. You have Libun, you have two kinds of Libun, Lekab, Libuchomer. Then you have Hagolah. Hagolah has to be Mala Resicha, the water has to be bubbling. And then you have the third form. If something was Boleya, Al-Yidei Kovush, has a Bli of its own. Kovush means something was soaking, let's say, for 24 hours. Some treif of stuff was soaking in a cleavage. Let's say milk was soaking in a pot for 24 hours, so we say kovish kemibushal. So since the bliya was only b'tzainin, so we would be mekel, that it's sufficient with mila v'yira gimel yam. You have to fill up the pot, soak it in a tub of water. You fill up your bathtub with water, and you have the pot submerged, the pot that became milchik, through bliya b'tzainin. So you fill up the pot with water for a little more than 24 hours, and you change the water, you leave it again for 24 hours, then you change the water a third time, you leave it for 72 hours, each time slightly more than 24 hours. So this Mila V'yiri Gimel Yamim only helps, the Gemara originally has it by Stam Yenom, and then we assume it works by Hetera Bola, if milk, let's say if you had blood, real blood was sitting in a container, treif of blood was got absorbed into a kli, because of kabbish for 24 hours, we would not be mekel. The Shach points out we would not be mekel to permit kashering with mili v'iri gimel yamin. We would insist that you need dafke hagola. But chametz kadam at Pesach, we certainly consider hetera bala with respect to this. That's a beferish passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. In the Babli, it only says mili v'irugim yamim by stam yenam. By stam yenam, there are many tzad. There are quite a few kulas that don't apply in kol hatar kula. But the whole prohibition of stam yenam is it's not really treif. It's just a concern that if we're going to enjoy the stam yenam, it may lead to intermarriage. So therefore, there are kulas there by stam yenam. So this is one of the many kulas that midav yirigim yamim is sufficient. And the Rishalmi has the midav yirigim yamim is good by chametz kadam Pesach. So the Shach says because we consider chametz kadam Pesach like Tosfos opinion, we consider the hetera bala with respect to this that midav yirigim is enough. Whenever midav yirigim yamim is enough, and then the Gemara says it even works on the kli cheres, even if the kli that was balea the fleishik, the milk, or the chametz they could drink, even a lot of times chocolate milk has flour in it, has chametz in it. So even if the kli that was balea, the treifis is a kli cheres, and the chumash seems to imply that hagola doesn't help any kli cheres, pasuk and parshas tzav, but midav yirigim yam does work on the kli cheres. Now that we say Hagolah doesn't work, Midav Yirigim does work. Let's say if you have a Bliya B'tzainin and a Klicheres, and the Din says that Midav Yirigim would have been sufficient, but who has 72 hours? It's 2 days, it's 1 day before Pesach. You don't have 72 hours to switch the water, to switch the water, to switch the water. Each time you have to have it soaking in water for slightly more than 24 hours. So the person woke up, it's too close to Pesach, so the tour, as a Machloikis in such a situation, would we be makel to permit Hagola on the klicheres? Usually we don't allow Hagola on the klicheres, but we assume it doesn't help. So the accepted opinion is yes, that if Mila B'Yirub would be sufficient on the klicheres, so Hagola is certainly sufficient. So we would be makel on that. We mentioned that the Gemara has a distinction between Hetera Bola and Isura Bola with respect to Libun. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk in Parshas Tzav that you only need Libun on a broiler if you broil treifa meat on it. Let's say you broil flesh on it, and now you want to use it for cheese sandwiches or something. So then the Gemara says that Hagola is sufficient. The Magen Avraham quotes a minig from Ashkenazi Achronim that you don't switch back and forth from fleshiks to milchiks. You don't kasher back and forth. In the factories, we do kasher all the time, because if something is done under rabbinic supervision, you have some kashrus organization, so you're not concerned about that. But in a private home, we don't permit people to switch back and forth. This design on the silverware means that it's fleshik. That design means that it's milchik. So you're going to switch back and forth. The guy's going to forget, are we holding by Madura Kama, Madura Tinyana? This design of fleshik and milchik, you're afraid the guy's going to forget. So the Ashkenazim have such a minig that you don't kasha to switch back and forth. What happens if you really want a kasha? You have a whole set of fleshik silverware and you don't need it. You want to make it milchik. So then the minig is that you wait till Pesach, then you make a kasha to Pesach. That you're allowed to do, to make a kasha to Pesach, because it was treif, you can't use it. Once you make a kasha to Pesach, so then you can use it, either for fleshik or for milchik. Or the Chasam Sefer says, let's say, I can't wait till Pesach, I need it this week. So the Pischi Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sefer, so cook some treifas in it, make a treif. Once you made a treif, then there's no minig, not the kasha. Then you can kasha from treifas to kasha. Once you kasha, then you can even switch from fleshiks to milchiks and whatever. Sfardim don't have this minig, and even some of the Ashkenazim are not so convinced that was the minig, but that's the So we mentioned that there's one distinction between hetera bola and isura bola with respect to libun. Do you ever really need libun chomer? You only need libun chomer. You only really need libun if it's isura bola. If it's hetera bola, then the Gemara says hagola would be sufficient. Whenever hagola is sufficient, even though let's say it's a broiler, mikra din hagola is sufficient on a kosher broiler. You never did any treifas. You just used it for fleishik. So strictly speaking, hagola would be enough. Let's say for a Svardi, who doesn't have this meaning not to switch back and forth. So whenever Hagolah would be enough, so even Libun Kal would also be sufficient. Then the Rishonim point out there's another difference between Hetera Bala and Isura Bala with respect to not Barnat. Not Barnat is a Rashi Tevis, Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam. People who don't know Yeridaya thought that Nat Bar Nat was a Rosh HaTevis that was invented by people in YU. Everything in YU is with Rosh HaTevis. Reitz, YU, and Akam, a lot of Rosh HaTevis. Nat Bar Nat has nothing to do with YU. Nat Bar Nat is in Yeridaya, it's in all the Poskim talk. Nois in Tam Bar Nois in Tam. The original case in the Gemara, I have a fleshy plate, and I just fried a part of a fish, and I have Dogim She'olu B'Kaira, have a burning hot piece of fish, and I put it on a fleshy plate. So the shaila is, the plate is cold and the fish is hot. So the shaila is it balea the fleshiks from the plate? So the answer is yes, it's balea the fleshiks from the plate. But so what's so terrible? So it has a blea from fleshiks in it, so the boil doesn't come to an end. So since the plate itself doesn't have schmalks on it, the plate just has a blea, it's an asinas tam in the plate of fleshiks, then it gives an asinas tam into the fish. So that's a noisen tam, bar noisen tam. It's already tam sheni, the hetera, and nothing happened yet. So the Gemara says you're permitted to cook that fish, you're permitted to have that fish with milk later on. Because a noisen tam, a noisen tam, the hetera is muta. Anat banat yisura is asa. But anat banat hetera is muta. So Rashi had a son-in-law known as the Rivon. So the Rivon claims that he heard from his father-in-law. That's the question. Did he have wax in his ears? Did he really hear straight or not? So the other grandchildren thought that the Rivon misheard. It couldn't be. So he claims that he heard from Rashi, his father-in-law, that Nat Bar Nat is mutter by Hetera Bola is only if one is hot and one is cold. The plate is cold and the fish is hot. There's Dogm She'olu B'Kaira. But Dogm She'is Bashla B'Kaira, if you cook soup, you cook part of a soup in a fleshy pot, so then you do treat the soup as if it were fleshy. So Tosis is very unhappy about this. They think that it can't be that. Rashi never said it. The Rivon must have made some kind of a mistake. But lechatchila Ashkenazim amachmer for the Rivon. Shad is how far do you go in being machmer? So it's just lechatchila. if you cooked a part of a soup in a fleshed pot, it doesn't make you fleshy. You don't have to wait 6 hours. Some people don't realize that. You don't have to wait 6 hours. Just that you shouldn't mix in milk. You shouldn't mix in butter in when you pour this part of the soup in a bowl. You shouldn't pour in any milk or butter. If you did pour in milk and butter, somebody ever we say not like the Rivon. We say that he must have heard wrong from Rashi. We assume that Rashi never said that not by not they bishul mikradin is also mutter. Well, Chatzilu and Machme for that. There is an opinion in Tosis. This is not the accepted opinion that Durki the Sakina. We said before, if you have a double chorif and you cut it with a treifa knife, you cut it with a fleshing knife, so it's going to make a treifa. It's going to make the onion fleshing, depending whether the knife is treif. Even though the knife is ainu ben yomon, even though everything is tzaynin. We're machma on everything, even though it's not by not. So we're machma everything by dove chorif u machma. So there's one opinion in Tosfos that not only duch kira sakina, but tzir of dove chorif, duch kira sakina alone, even if it's not a dove chorif. So let's say if you have a fleshig knife that's clean, absolutely clean, and you cut your challah with the fleshig knife, so you can't eat the leftover slices that you cut, well, the fleshig knife became fleshig, and you're not allowed to eat them with melchiks. So that's why the Ramah has a Jewish minig that you have to have a bread knife designated. I think a lot of goyim also picked it up from the Jews. To have a separate bread knife. Because you're going to use a fleshig knife, so the bread is going to become flesh. You're going to use a milchig knife, you're going to make this slice that you just cut into milchig. The whole thing is a chumrah. It's a chumrah to satisfy the one opinion in Tosfos that dova chorif, that duch kidus akina gives a bliya, even though there's no dova chorif. But that's the Ramah quotes this. The Ramah quotes this chumra. We mentioned the Gemara says that even if you have a treifa kli that hasn't been used for hot treifas in the last 24 hours and it's nice and tam levgam, say mikra din, you're allowed to use it men atoyra. The also Torah al kadeira basiyima, but min the rabbanon they made kadeira ain't ben yoma to ben yoma. So the Ritva, the end of Avodah Zarah, quotes his Rebbe the Ra'or, that he only had one set of dishes. He said that he didn't have fleshings and milchik dishes and pots and pans. At one set, he held that this gzer de rabbanon only applies by yisura bola. That gzer ene ben yama to ben yama. By hetera bola, they never made gzer de rabbanon. So the Ritva said that all the Talmidim pleaded with the Rebbe that we know that you're right, but everybody says you're not pikiris. You only have one set of dishes. What do you have to fight with everybody? He said, no, nope. The matter of principle, right is right. He's not going to give in. He only had one set of dishes. So we don't follow that opinion. But Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas based on Rebbe Kevega's tshuvas that are quoted in the Pisrei Tshuva. If the grandmother dies and she left a set of dishes and everything is kosher, and nobody remembers whether this is the fleshik dishes or the milchik dishes. So by now the dishes have not been used in a long time. It's ene ben yomo, so it's only the rabbanon to begin with. Why shouldn't we say something the rabbanon lekula? I'm not sure. If you don't remember whether these are fleshik or milchik, I don't remember already why. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein quotes Rabbi Kivegas, Tshuva. The Chacham Tzvi says like this, there is a gemara in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah by the barrels of wine that were used by the Nochrim for Stam Yenom. So you have to kasha the barrel. But if the barrel hasn't had any wine sitting in it for the last 12 months, Yud Beis Chodesh, then we assume all the bliya disappeared already. The bliya is not going to last more than Yud Beis Chodesh. So the overwhelming majority of the Poskim hold that that's only a special kula by Stam Yenom, because the whole prohibition of Stam Yenom is not, there's nothing non-kosher over there. It's just there because it may lead to intermarriage. It may enjoy the wine so much, it may want to marry the fellow's daughter in order to have a lifetime supply of this delicious tasting wine. So it's not really a kashrus issue. So that's why there's room to be made. The Chacham Tzvi disagreed. He thought that that kula applies to all trefer kelim. That when did they make gzeir ene ben yomo ata ben yomo, even though 24 hours passed, but if 12 months passed by already, a whole year passed by, so then you never have to kashm anything. So we don't follow the Chacham Tzvi. And if hetera bola there are o holds that there's no gzeir ene ben yomo ata ben yomo, we don't follow the ra'o on that either. And then there's Tur quotes from the Baal Iter. Baal Iter was one of the Baal HaTosfos, one of the French Baal HaTosfos. Baal Iter has a chiddush that even though Kli Cheres, Hagola, doesn't help, but if you're dealing with a Kli She'en Ben Yomo to begin with, the whole reason that you have to kasher it is only with the Rabbanan, only She'en Ben Yomo to Ben Yomo. So if you do Hagola Gimel Pamim, Mani Kli Cheres, then it will help. What is Hagola Gimel Pamim? Hagola Gimel, so the Chazanish said, what do you mean Hagola? You dip the thing in, dip the pot in 3 times. Why don't you just hold it in for 3 seconds? Why do you have to dip it in 3 times? Says he doesn't think that it means you dip it in 3 times in the same pot. He thinks that it means you dip it into 3 different pots of burning hot water. What is that going to make it better? So the Rabitzel Panavision has in Zecha Yitzchak, he has an essay about this. He was a big genius. He lived 100 years ago. Usually we don't follow anything that he says halacha l'maisa. He was a big Rosh Hashiva. He was the top Rosh Hashiva in part of Rosh Hashiva. He says a lot of things against the accepted thing, against Rishayim and against Shulchan Aruch. So usually we don't follow what he says. But here, he throws in a little bit of an explanation over here. He says, Kli Cheres, we're not sure. We're not sure whether Hagola helps or not. So the Chazanish explains, if you dip it into 3 different pots, so maybe this pot is hotter than the other pot, maybe the 3rd pot is hotter than the first 2 pots, maybe the Hagola will help. Not that if you hold it for 2 minutes and the same pot is not going to help. Maybe this pot is not as hot as that pot, maybe there's some other conditions. So the Baal Iter has this idea based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi says, if you have an Issa de Rabbanon, which is an Issa Kal, there are the Isurim Darabanan that are Isurim Chamurim, and then there are some Isurim Darabanan, Isurim Kalam. So the Yerushalmi gives an example of an Issa Darabanan that's an Issa Kal, is Truma Bizman. Hafrosh is Truma, and Maisis Bizman is an Eretz Yisrael proper, is only Mid Darabanan, the Gemara says. That's how the Rambam paskens, that's how the Ramo, and Shulchan Aruch quotes that Rambam, La Aloche, that even though the Kedusha Shni was Lei Batla, but Afila Bizman Baisheni, the obligation to be Mafish Chumas and Maises and Etzav is only the Rabbanon. So all discussion How did the Rambam know that that's so? What's the explanation that he gives? So the Yerushalmi says that since Hafrashas Trumas and Maisis Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanon, so if you cook the Truma in a pot, and it has, so it's only Mutta the Kohanim, so a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat any soup that's cooked in that pot, but it's going to have a Bli of Truma. So Yerushalmi says, if you do Hagol Gimel Pamim on the pot, even though the pot is a Kli Cheres, it's good enough. If it's a Kli Mateches, so you do Hagol at once, but if it's a Kli Cheres, you do Hagol Gimel Pamim, it's good. So the Baluiter thinks that any trefik kli that's ain't a ben yomah, and our Torah had to gomer. So the whole chumr is on exer ain't a ben yomah, to ben yomah. So he considers that an isa de rabbanon kal. And if you do hagolah gimel pamim, that would be sufficient. So the Torah says we have not accepted this opinion of the baluita. But Rabbi Kiveger writes, and Rabbi Moshe expands upon it, that we have all of these all put together. You have 12 months went by, so according to the Chacham Tzvi, you don't have to kashiv at all. And it could be that the plates were fleshig in the first place. We don't remember whether they were fleshig or milchig. It's a suffix. It's not a vaday. Rabbi Kiveger talks about cases, sometimes there's room even to be mekel if it is a vaday. So you have a tzirif of different stodim l'hokal. Yud beis chodesh went by, according to the ra'or, whenever it's a terabola, so there's no gzeirei ben yom, otem ben yom at all. So you don't have to kashu at all. You can just switch back and forth. So if you do Hagolah Gimel Pamim with such a situation, then there's room to be mekel. Sometimes there's even room to be mekel, even if you know bevadai that it was the reverse, that it was a fleshig set, you want to make it milchik, so then there's what to discuss. You have to, the poskim discuss this. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said that if people are making their homes kosher, so and they can't afford to throw out all the old dishes, so you have to use all the kulas on the books, in order to get them to start making being kosher. But if they can't afford it and they don't want to spend the money, so don't give them any heter. If by mistake someone cooks basa b'cholim, so what's the din? So the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Mishnayis and kol basa, it depends whether it's basa b'cholim, the raisa basa b'cholim, the rabbanan. If it's chicken and milk, there's a machloikas, we pass on that. That's only basa b'cholim, the rabbanan. So that's muta b'hanor. If it's flesh and milk, that's basa b'chalav deraisa. So that's osa b'hanor as well. Osa b'hanor means I'm not allowed to sell it. What about giving it away to a nochri? So the Gemara says, if you give it to a nochri hamakiro, if you give it to a nochri whom you know, so then he's probably going to give you something back in exchange. Let's say it's the cleaning lady. So if I give her a tip, so she'll do better work. I give it to my next door neighbor. So he's my Shabbos goy. So he'll help me out more readily if I give him matanis. We used to have a next-door neighbor, a nochri. So before Pesach, I would always sell all the schnapps. People bring me a lot of schnapps from Shalach Manas just when I needed a month before Pesach. And I don't drink so much schnapps anyway. So we would have a whole carton full of schnapps. I would give him, and I would explain to him in English, but he was a Puerto Rican. I explained in English that I sold it to him for $10. And then if you don't want it, after the holiday is over, I'll be happy to buy it back. All the schnapps was gone that night. And he died from a liver ailment. So drinking all our schnapps. So Shechter killed the next name. So he used to be our Shabbos guy. So to give the matana to a nachri hamakiro, that's not called a violation of loisechonim. That's not a violation of loisechonim giving matans chinam. It's not a matans chinam. It's going to give you back something in exchange. And because he probably will give you back some service in exchange, so therefore, that would be a violation of getting hanor from the basa b'cholav. To give the basa b'cholav to a nochri she'ena makiro, so then you're not going to get anything back in exchange. So you're not a violation of the isa hanor, but then you're a violation of the isa lo sechonim. You're not supposed to give a matas chinam to a nochri. So then if you have no choice, so you throw it out in the garbage. Blood spots years ago used to be a problem. Blood spots in eggs. Thesis in the beginning of the second parak in Beitza, the koyla was Lani Beitza. So in the beginning of the second parak, Thesis points out that we always crack open the eggs, we check them in advance to make sure that there are blood spots. It's really only a chumrah, it's really a chumrah, because mikra then you have a right to go basaroid. Let's say if an ochri baked the bread, so if it's paspalter, if he bakes for the public, so you don't have to be concerned. He didn't check the eggs before he put it in. Tosis says, the rive of the eggs are not going to have a blood spot. But let's say you crack open an egg, you see that it does have a blood spot. So years ago, in Europe, this would be a problem. What is the problem? Not so much a problem of dam. This dam is mutter. It's a problem of nevela. Maybe, depending where the blood spot is and what location on the egg, this may indicate that this egg started to hatch, started to develop as a chick, and it never had any shechita. So it's a nisa nevela. So then the Shulchan Aruch says it's only if it appears on a specific point in the egg. So that's a machlekes on the flat part or on the pointy part. Where? In recent years, for many years already, if you have an egg farm, they keep all the roosters away. They don't want to have chicks. They want to have eggs. They want to make money selling eggs. They don't want all the customers to give back the eggs that were fertilized. So none of the eggs are fertilized by us. So Mikra Din, all the blood spots are mutas. So Moshe Feinstein says, but the minig apparently still is for many years already. They keep all the roosters away. They don't want to have fertilized eggs. So the minig is that you throw out, you check the egg, and you throw out the egg that has the blood spot. If by mistake, bisman hazeh, in America, if you're traveling in Europe, it's not necessarily the case. If you live in France, I don't know if they check. I don't know if they keep away the roosters. Makes sense that they should, like in America. But if, let's say, somebody fried eggs and then he sees that there's a blood spot there on one of the eggs, so Moshe says, Mi'ikaradin, it's really just a minig not to eat it. So you cut out that part that has the blood spot and you throw it out. Years ago, the minig would be you throw out the whole egg. But if you already, if you already fried the egg and you don't know for sure that that they kept away the roosters, then you would have to ask the whole taruvis. But today, it's just a minig that we don't eat the blood spots. In the days of the Gemara, they considered fish that was cooked with meat as a sakana for tzaras. The Rambam never quotes it, so the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, the Rambam was a doctor, and he followed exactly what the Tanoim said. The Tanoim followed the doctors of their generation, so the Rambam followed the doctors of his generation. So the Rambam, based on his knowledge of medicine, held that it's not a sakana, so he left out this idea. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this idea, though, even though the Rambam left it out. The Magen Avraham has one siman where he talks about all kinds of miscellaneous things that were left out from Shulchan Aruch. This one is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So in the Magen Avraham, I think in Kuf Nun Vav, in the miscellaneous siman there, he says that maybe today there's no concern about the fish and the meat, because we haven't heard that anybody developed tzaras because they ate fish that was cooked together with meat. Nari Bihuda quotes the Magen Avraham and he says, maybe we're not so sure, maybe it's still a problem. So that's an issue. Even if it is an issue, the issue only is if the meat and the fish were cooked together. If the meat and the fish were cooked in two different pots, you eat on the same plate, that's not a problem. The Shach says that's not a problem. The meaning is the women are so concerned about the health that they give you two different forks and two different plates, everything. And the Nachm are also very concerned. Nachm also give you two different forks, one for the fish, one for the flesh. I'm not sure exactly what they're concerned about.
Yeah.
So that's, but that says Neshach. If the fish and the meat were cooked separately, that's not a chashash to eat it together. Chashash sakana, what it says in the Gemara, it's only if the two were cooked together. What if you have, let's say, you have a little Worcestershire sauce or something like that, and it has a little bit of fish in it? So the OU's policy is if it has shishim against the fish, they won't write OU fish. They'll just write OU, because most of the poskim assume that if the fish was bottled with shishim, then it's not a chashash sakana. There is a minority opinion that you have to be concerned even if the fish was bottled with shishim, that bottled with shishim only helps for non-kosher things. It doesn't help for things that are prohibited because of sakana, and that we're still concerned about the sakana even bisman hazeh, even though the Magen Avraham thinks that it doesn't make any sense. So there is an opinion that that even betel b'shishim doesn't help. So if the Worcestershire sauce doesn't have shishim against it, then it's going to say, oh, you fish. So they'll alert everyone that they should not cook it with meat. Sometimes it just says, oh, you, doesn't say fish, but it has fish as an ingredient that's betel b'shishim. So if you're from the families who are chashish for that, so look on the ingredient, make sure that you don't... you don't violate your family practice. Let's say you made a potato kugel and you poured it in a little schmaltz in order to give it a flavor. or you made French fries or potatoes, and you use the fleishig. I had oil that I fried flesh in, and I want to fry the French fries in order to give them the geschmack of flavor of the flesh. So if you were interested in giving the kugel, interested in giving the potatoes, the French fried potatoes, the flavor of the flesh, so then it's considered fleishig, and then you have to wait 6 hours. But what happens if, let's say, I used a fleishig pot, a little bit of flesh in the pot that I made kugel in, but I wasn't really interested. Well, let's say I have the same oil that I did the hot dogs in, that I did flesh in. I'm going to do French fries in the same oil, but I'm not interested in the flavor of the flesh in the oil. The people were not interested. Just they don't want to throw out the oil. They have a lot of oil left over. It happens to be full of fleishig. So even though you don't have shishim against the flesh, the shach says you don't have to wait 6 hours over there. You shouldn't have milchiks together with it, because it has the schmaltz in it that wasn't bottled by shishim. But you don't have to wait 6 hours because of that. When you have to kasher a treifa kli ayideh hagola, so the Shulchan Aruch says the meaning is you always wait till it's ayin ben yom. Why do you wait till it's ayin ben yom? Because there's always a problem when you kasher a treifa fork, a treifa knife, a treifa pot, so the treifa kli is going to go into the water. So what's going to prevent it from coming back from the water into the pot? So Tosfos has one opinion. No, the blia that just came out is not going to come back in. And Tosfos has the expression from the Gemara, v'chichul de nevi'i. The Gemara has such an expression. The weasel is a nevi'ah. Chulda ha-nevi'ah. The weasel is a nevi'ah. What the pot has ruach HaKadosh knows only to absorb this blia, not that blia. The blia that just came out is not going to reabsorb. Why not? Who ever heard of such a thing? So Tosfos doesn't agree. Tosfos says it's not true. You have to either, when you do Hagolah, you have to either wait till the Kli is Ein Ben Yomas. Even if the Bliya goes into the water and does come back in, it'll be Tchilas HaBliya Levgam. When I cook treifas in the pot, so the Tchilas HaBliya was Lishvach. So even though now it's Ein Ben Yomas, so that's the Gzer de Rabban, Ein Ben Yomas to Ben Yomas. But if once the Bliya goes into the water, I'm doing Hagolah. Once the Bliya goes into the water, then it goes back into the pot. So the Tchilas HaBliya now is Livgam. So here the Chachamim whenever goes in. So that's not a problem. So if you want to kasha when it's still Ben Yom, and then you have to calculate to make sure that you have Shishim. So not everybody knows how to calculate to make sure that you have Shishim. So that's why the meaning was that you always wait till the Kli is Ein Ben Yom before you do Hagolah. So you won't have to have a whole ASIC of calculating. So strictly speaking, if it's a Fleishik pot that you want to switch to make Parava, let's say for Sfardim who don't have that minik, or even Ashkenazim do have the minik, the Darkei Tshuva from the Minkacha quotes Moira Hayro, who say, let's say they purchased when you broil something, two broilers, they bought two broilers, one was supposed to be designated for milchig and one for fleishig. So somebody, by mistake, used the milchig one, they used it for fleishigs. But that was a mistake. The balabasta wanted that one supposed to be fleishig. So let's say something became fleishig by mistake. So you also have the minig, that you don't switch from fleishig to milchig until it comes Pesach, you have to make a treif. So the Darkei Tshuva thinks that the minig doesn't apply in such a situation. Moshe Feinstein is usually more lenient than most. And over here, he's more machmer than the Munkacha. Munkacha always machmer on everything. He's more machmer than the Munkacha. He says that you don't switch from fleishig to milchig. That's not a minig. That's medina de gemara, he thinks. And the minig goes, if it became fleishig by mistake, that's still the minig, is that you don't kash. But I think the minig is not like Ramosha. The minig is like the Munkacha said, that whenever the thing became fleishig by mistake, so then then you can kash it. So if you'll kash it, if you kash it even when it is ben yomo, and there's no shishim in the water, it'll be a not by not by not the hetera. The fleshig blia was absorbed into the knife. Let's say it's a knife. By mistake, he used a knife. This knife was supposed to be parva milchig. By mistake, he used it to cut the steak. So he made the knife fleshig. So you washed off the knife, you only have a blia fleshig in the knife. Then the blia goes into the water because you did hagola. Then it goes back from the water back into the knife. So that's what Tosfos calls a not by not by not. So even though it's al yidei bishul and we're machmer lachatchila for the rivan, that's only not banat al yidei bishul, but not banat banat, the third liya. So that Tosfos says, if it's not banat banat, then even the rivan would be mekel on that. So strictly speaking, it doesn't make sense that you should have to wait till the flesh of kli is any binyama in order to kasher it. You don't have to calculate whether you have shishim. There's no need for shishim, because the worst it's going to be is going to be anat by anat by anat that teira. Everything is muta. But that's what the Magen Avraham says. He quotes Darkei Moshe, the Ramo, and the Tur. The meaning is you always wait to kashu all the kelim with hagola. You always wait till it's ene ben yomo. Yeah, this din ene ben yomo to ben yomo applies if you're dealing with an issa deraisa with nivla. What if it's only an issa derabbanan in the first place was nivla? So the Shach claims, that just a one-line Shach, he doesn't prove it, he says that the din, Gzeir Ene Ben Yom Ba'at Yom, applies even if the Bliya was only the Rabban. On the side of the Yeridea, the Gil Yom Ashur tells you, look at the Nadi Behuda who disagrees. He thinks by Nisa the Rabbanan, Gzeir Ene Ben Yom Ba'at Yom doesn't apply, it should be a Gzeir El Gzeir. So I think people are usually Machma like the Shach, but the Shach himself writes in the second Chelik Yeridea, beginning of the second Chelik Yeridea, let's say you have someone called me up once on Chalamay Pesach. He was all frantic. He came home from work. He went to work on Chalamay. Came home from work. His wife says, "Darling, I bought a surprise for dinner tonight: corn on the cob." So the husband was a yucky. He almost divorced his wife on the spot. Corn on the cob on Pesach is kidney. I can't get kidney on Pesach. Ready to throw her out with all the dishes and everything. So he called me up on the phone. He didn't divorce. Called me up on the phone. So I said, there's no bayura, bay matzah on kidney, so just put it away in the refrigerator and save it till after Pesach. And then as far as the Pesach tikkun pats, the Shach himself writes in the second Chelek Yeridei, the Gzeira Eina Ben Yoma to Ben Yoma only applies if it's an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabbanan. But it's only a minig to begin with, and you just wait till it's Eina Ben Yoma, and there's no need to kasha. After it's Eina Ben Yoma, then there's no need to kasha. Glass kelim is a machloikas the mechaber and the Ramon. Mechaber quotes those Rishonim say that glass kelim are not balea. The balea is so insignificant. You're always going to have shishim. It's not balea, so you can have the same set of dishes for fleshing, milk, and tray. Glass is not balea. The Ramon is machmi. Even though in Mitzias we know that it mechaber is right, but the Ashkenazim follow the Ramon. The Ramon says ben machmer on glass. That we treat it as if it is Balea and as if Hagola doesn't help. So that's the question, how far did the Chumra of the Ramah go? So some Achrenim hold, the Chumra of the Ramah only goes for Chometz B'Pesach. It doesn't go all year long for Treifas. Others disagree. Prima Gadim thinks not so. But on glass Kalim, we know that it's not Balea, hardly Balea at all. Stainless steel is even Balea less than glass Kalim. So that's why many argue that even if you have the chumrah of the Ramah, that you treat glass kelim as if they're kli cheres, that hagola doesn't even help. But on stainless steel, you really ought to be mekel. No, we haven't gotten yet all the rabbanim to agree to that. Should be so. Stainless steel is hardly balei at all. It should be so. But we haven't gotten the whole world of rabbanim involved in kashas to agree, so we're not mekel on that yet. Okay, anybody want to raise any issues now? Okay, this is for the first day of marriage. Now I got no answer. Should I have a happy marriage? Good.
Okay. It's a little specific favor. If